All right, let's look this morning, 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If it sounds familiar to you, you either probably just read it or you came to church or listened to church online last week. Brother Ryman preached here last week. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to preach to you this morning about the right time to complain, or the time is right for complaint. You never heard that before, I don't think, probably from the pulpit. That's considered a sin. You know what a sin is. A lot of folks, I suppose, at this church know what a sin is. Most folks think a sin is the thing that you do that I don't.
Yeah.
Amen. But that's not really what sin is. That's not what sin is. I'm sure you've probably heard it's a sin to complain. You've probably heard that before. It's wrong. We shouldn't complain. And a lot, you've probably heard phrases like that. You've probably heard sayings like that. But I shouldn't really say it's the time is right for complaining, but the time is right for complaint. It's all right to have a complaint. We'll read verse 16 first. It says, "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Let's go back to verse number 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives," which was one of his first mistakes. Amen. This fellow probably got some reason to complain too. Now we're going to talk about Hannah's good excuse for a complaint. And this fellow, he probably has a good reason to complain too. But he married two women. It's his own fault. He had to deal with it. Amen. "And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship." That's just like some Christians do. Amen. They go up yearly to worship Christmas or Easter. Used to, folks would go twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Now folks are choosing between the two because that country has went pro-choice. Amen? So folks go whenever they want to now. "But this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" You're not always in agreement over why you should be grieving. You'll be grieved about something. You'll be complaining about something. And other people just can't see it. Other people can't see things like you see it. And in this case, this husband's being very good to his wife. He's treating his wife better than his wife, if that makes good sense to you. He's treating one wife better than the other. He's giving her more than the other. He's giving her more attention to the other. And he supposes that that ought to make up for all that she perceives that she has to complain about. Now, that's just the way other people are going to look at it. You're not always going to get everybody to see things the way you see it or feel things the way you see it. A little bit later on, Eli's going to see this woman praying, and he's going to say, this woman's drunk. She in her heart knows what she's doing. She in her heart, she knows what her complaint is. She knows everything that's going on. The preacher don't see it. That's exactly the situation as you have it here. Eli, he's the type of what you would call a preacher in the New Testament, or a prophet. He is the leadership there at the worship place, the appointed place of worship. He looks at this woman. She's praying, but he don't see it that way. He said, this woman must be drunk or something. Maybe you probably seen somebody going about their own Christian life, and you didn't see it the way they saw it, you might have thought they was drunk, or you might have thought they was crazy. That's not the way me and the Lord have our relationship. That's not the way I act when I go through my little worship routine. But you don't know what's in somebody else's heart and mind. Now, if they open their mouth and reveal themselves to be foolish or incorrect, then you know. But a lot of times you just look at a thing, you don't see it correctly. Eli didn't see it. What we would call the preacher in this day and time, he didn't see it. Her own husband that lived with her didn't see why that she would be so upset over this situation. He said, I'm better to you than 100 kids. If you had 10,000 kids, they couldn't be as good to you. Matter of fact, you'd be pulling your head out. Amen? You'd be pulling your hair, not your head out, but your hair out, the hair out of your head. And so she's dealing here with a lot of people that don't know what she's going through, and you'll probably be that way too. And a lot of times you'll get upset because other people don't see it, and really other people can't fulfill your petition. If the Lord has saved you, and if the Lord is your Savior, and the Lord is your Lord and Master, then talk to Him and tell Him what you're grieved about, and just don't expect other people to realize what you're going through or what you're thinking, even if it's your husband, even if it's your wife, even if it's your preacher. Don't go to pieces when everybody doesn't see it the way you see it, especially when it concerns you. A lot of times we concern ourselves with seeing everybody else's problem and seeing it. And there is a time and a place for that. The Lord gives you leadership in the church. The Lord gives you direction. The Lord gives you the Holy Spirit. First of all, He gave you a Savior. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And then He gave you pastors and teachers and so forth, and evangelists, so forth and so on. And God has those things worked out in His own economy. Those people are going to be helps and blessings. But a lot of times, if everybody else doesn't see things the way we see it, if everybody else is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, then we think, well, you know, they either don't know what they're talking about, or that God hadn't blessed them, or God hadn't given them any sense, so, you know, why should I even bother with them? And some people will leave church over that. Well, the preacher don't see it the way I see it. Well, he can't, because he's not God. God didn't call God to be your pastor. Amen? You're dealing with fallible men all over the place, but God knows. And that leads me to say this, and we'll get into the message here in just a little bit, but I wanted to make it point. I said the time is right for complaint. The complaint is the problem. And most people express their complaint by complaining. And most of the time we call that a sin, because all we do is we discourage one another because we're complaining to each other. Now, in this case, her husband doesn't understand it, and her preacher doesn't understand it, or her priest, or whatever you want to call Eli, her judge, or whatever you want to call him. He doesn't understand it. Her husband doesn't understand it. But let me point this out to you. There is somebody who does understand it, and that's really the way that she expresses her complaint, and that's in prayer. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. She expressed her complaint in prayer. But let's look here in verse number six again. Her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so people can make you fret, can't they? Amen. A lot of times the devil will distract us with other people, what they think. And you know, you ought to, there are some folks who are the targets of other people's opinions more than others. And the more you stand out, and the more you, and of course you can make up your own mind about whether or not to make yourself stand out or not. But if you stand out in a crowd, people are going to make you pay for that. That's just the fact of the matter. If you dress a little bit different and wear colors that other people didn't wear and stuff like that, you're going to, you know, you be like a barnyard full of chickens. A barnyard full of chickens find one that stands out, they'll peck him to death. And that's just the way that it works. And welcome to the world. Yeah. Welcome to the society of men. People see something a little out of place, and they're going to talk about it, and they're going to point it out. But, you know, a lot of times we invest our hearts and our souls about public opinion, and you're just doing that to no effect. If you work yourself around to where everybody accepts you, they'll change what they think and what's acceptable to them, because men are changeable. That's sad, and it's probably not even good ethics, but people are changeable. And if you bend things around in your life and turn things around in your life so that everybody else is accepting of you, then they'll change their opinion about what's acceptable, and then you'll be the oddball still. Amen? Because you wouldn't get the memo that everything was changing, and they'll expect you to conform again. If you don't, they'll peck you for it some more. But it says, her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lip moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now let's look back up in verse number 10. It says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Well, let's stop right there and look at verse 10. It says she prayed unto the Lord. Now that's the right way to express a complaint right there. If you have a complaint, something's wrong. Now, again, I said the difference, but there is a difference between complaint, having a complaint, a real grievance. That's what a complaint is. It's the grievance itself. Now, you express that most of the time by complaining, but the real way to express a complaint is to pray, and to actually pray to somebody that can do something about it. Most of you, you don't get your complaints fixed because you're complaining to the wrong person. Amen? Most of the time you complain to your husband. Well, if that's your complaint, what's he going to do about it? He ain't likely to change. Matter of fact, the more you nag, the less he's going to change. I just pretty much about guarantee that. Having been a man myself, I recognize, amen, when the more you complain, more it just sounds like chicken scratch to me. Amen? He said, well, I don't think you got the right attitude. Well, talk to somebody who does. Amen. Talk to God. God has the right attitude about it. Amen. And because I'm the head of my house, you know, I just put my little lady straight. Yeah, that's the way a lot of people talk. But one thing I realized, that my wife knows how to pray. Amen. Well, that's a wonderful thing there, because it helps in your marital relationship. You're not going to say, well, you know, my wife gets out of line, I'll knock a knot on her head. Not if she knows God. Amen. If she knows God and you start messing around knocking knots on her head, God might knock a knot on yours. Amen. And your preacher might, if he finds out you've been knocking knots on her head. Amen. Did you know I have been a little bit grieved, and I have, you know, run up to a place where I found out some preachers abused their wives. Amen. I found it out, got disheartened about that thing. Amen. If I ever get an opportunity, I'm going to get you around the nape of your neck and shove your head through a door. You're welcome. Amen. Well, don't you think she ought to call the police? Yes, she ought to call the police, but she ain't going to because she's afraid of the repercussions. Yep. Yep. Amen. You need somebody to come bully you. That's good. That's good preaching right there, amen. That's old-fashioned way of thinking, amen. Somebody's little girl getting abused by a man, her brother and her father ought to find out about it and come down to your house and knock you around a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. Yep. Amen. He said, well, they might put him in jail for that. It's worth a couple days in jail. You let me find you knocking around one of my daughters or one of my kinfolk like that, and I'll spend a couple days in jail. I ain't worried about that. Be a good time to witness, amen. Been wanting to start a, you know, jailhouse ministry. That's the way to get involved in it, amen. 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 If you're going to go to jail, you may as well do it as for knocking somebody around who's been abusing their wife than going to church.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. They're trying to put folks in jail and fine them for going to church this day and time. You may as, if you're going to have to go to church, you may as well go for something worthy.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's exactly right. You say, well, preacher, you're getting old now. You couldn't be knocking no knots anyway. Well, we'll see. I got a baseball bat. Amen. And I ain't that old, by the way. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, I'm falling apart young. I'm not that old. Amen. But at any rate, said she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. I don't know. I just thought about that. Might have come down from the heavens. I don't know if some of you fellas thinking about beating up your wives or maybe some of you wives. Now listen to you don't be beating up your husband either. Amen. I won't knock a knot on your head, but I'll find some lady that can. Amen. I know a few ladies that can knock heads too. Amen. But you don't abuse one another. Amen. And there ain't no sense in complaining to one another because you know how folks are. They're so proud. Folks are so proud. I'm right about everything, and I'm setting my ways, and I'm not going to change it. Ain't no woman going to change me. You ever heard a man say that? You ever heard a woman say, ain't no man going to change me. I ain't changing for no man. Well, you hard-headed old cluck, go on living in the grief you're living in.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? Yeah. I never seen a person that could change another person's heart, but I know a God that can. Amen. And I've never seen too many men that can change your situation, regardless of whether it's a heart issue or not. I've never seen too many men that can change other men's heart. Now, I've seen men preach, and I've seen ladies teach Sunday school classes that was real and right and true, and the truth made people free and changed hearts and lives. I have seen that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Well,
I'm thankful that I've seen that a lot of times. We started going to church about 1974, and I've seen a lot of people get right. I've seen a lot of people get out, too. Hearts get messed up, and hearts get right. But I know out of all of that, all the hearts getting right and all the hearts getting wrong and people getting out, I know that there is one that can deal with the heart, and it ain't usually men that can do it either. But God can deal with things. God can change things. And that's what Hannah's doing here. She's praying. She's praying to the right person. And a lot of times we pray or, in this case, complain to the wrong person. We just complain to the wrong person, Brother Heath. That's all there is to it. And let me say this to you while I'm on the subject of complaining to one another. A lot of men will be quick to say, ain't no man telling me what to do. You know, we love liberty and all that. And most of that just turns out to be rebellion and hard-heartedness.
Yep. Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Amen. The Bible talks about men that despise governments. God instituted governments among men. Sure he did. Well, listen, a lot of people get in that attitude, you ain't no man going to tell me what to do. I don't follow no man. I follow God. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you'd let me come down to your house with a piece of paper and start making a list of all the ways you follow God. Let me follow you around, ride around with you while you're driving through Dover, the most wretched place on the planet to drive ever. And let me see how far you follow God on a daily basis. You don't follow God. You follow you, you hard-headed old rebel you. Amen?
Yeah.
I said that with a smile on my face because I just love everybody. Amen. You got to have the right attitude. They've said to me many times, Brother Mike, now you need to improve your attitude. Well, I smiled when I said that. Isn't that a great improvement? That's a great truth, though. Most men are just rebels. Just rebels. But let me say this for all you folks who ain't going to follow no man. You ain't going to submit yourself to no man. You complain to a man. Did you know that no matter what the case is, you always complain up? You don't complain down. You might holler and fuss at your kids, but you don't complain to your kids. You know why? Because they can't fix stuff for you. Of course, some of your kids are smarter than you. I understand that. There might be one or two of you whose kids are smarter than you and they can fix things better than you. But generally speaking, folks don't complain to their kids because your kids can't fix your problem. Yep. Amen? You complain up. In the military, the major don't complain to the private. Private ain't got enough power to fix a major's problem. Major fixes private's problem. Amen? Sergeants fix corporal's problems. Corporals don't fit sergeants' problems. Matter of fact, corporals are sergeants' problems most of the time. That makes sense to anybody but me? It ought to make sense because it's true. Your boss don't complain to you. If he doesn't, he's an idiot. You complain to your boss because your boss fixes the problems. And you say you don't follow no man. Well, you complaining to men. It's an act. Complaining to other men is an act of subservience. Does that make sense to you? Now, Hannah wasn't talking to her husband. She wasn't talking to Eli. She was talking to God. That's the right place to express your complaint. You express your complaint in prayer, amen? Prayer is the right way to complain. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm in a bad situation over here. And just complain to God? Well, I don't recommend. I started to say complain to God like you complain to your husband or your wife, but I don't recommend you use the same tone of voice. Amen. I don't recommend you use the same irreverence. Ain't in this day and age in which we live, ain't folks irreverent to one another? There's no reverence for nothing anymore. Amen. Folks don't. It just depends, don't I? Mean the police officer writes you a ticket and you say, "Thank you, sir." That don't make much sense. Thank you, sir. And then when he walks off, I don't know who he thinks he is. He thinks he's the one that just wrote you a ticket and you said, "Thank you, sir." That's who he thinks he is.
Yeah. Amen.
People are awful tough and irreverent when folks ain't there. Or if he come back up here, I'd tell him. No, you wouldn't. You didn't tell him the first time. The way you done it the first time is the exact way you would do it.
Yeah.
Amen? That's, well, if that bully ever comes back around, I'm going to stand up for myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. Amen? You say, "Well, oh, Brother Mike, I'm so brave and I'm so tough." Evidently not. Evidently not. We got a whole nation full of folks talking about how I'm going to defend the Constitution. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. We live in a society that just doesn't, you're not up for hardship. You are not up for hardship. You can't even do a load of laundry, let alone stand up for your Second Amendment rights. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'll tell you what I'm going to tell them right now. No, sir, you're going to click it or tick it. That's all you're going to do. That's all you're going to do. That's all you're going to do. You may as well shut up about that kind of stuff and go on and live for God the best you can while you can. Oh, I tell you what, if they come for my guns, boy, I'm going to fill them full of lead. Yeah, you're going to fill their trunk with it. You're going to carry it out there, and you're going to put it in the trunk for them. That's what you're going to do. Can I carry that to the car for you, sir? Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. That's what folks are going to do. That's what you're going to do. Amen. Brother Mike, are you going to stand for your rights? As soon as you show me 1,200 men standing on Lexington Green, then we'll talk. What are you going to do? I'm going to do the same thing you're going to do.
Yep.
Amen?
That's right.
Well, Brother Mike, you was in the Marine Corps. You're supposed to No. That's not the way it's going to work. It's just not the way it's going to work. No, sir. You're past that. Hey, this country is past that, Brother Heath. Men won't stand up enough to go to work, let alone stand up against the government. That's true. Listen, we've got men in this country that have jobs. I'm talking about they have jobs. They go to work almost every day. But they don't want to make a certain amount of money because their government check will be influenced by that.
Right.
Amen? You ought to have a whooping. I'm getting off subject here, but I'm going to just trust the Lord this morning that this stuff comes down from the heavens. If you've got a job, you ought to get off of welfare.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Oh, I just can't do that. I just can't afford to do that. Well, I mean, you could if you wanted to. I mean, you stop working at a certain hour so you don't make too much.
Yeah. How about that?
That's what they do these days, Brother Squeak. They'll stop working at a certain dollar amount so that they don't make too much to where the government will cut off their... Well, if you can go ahead and make it, you ought to go ahead and make it and get off the government.
Yes. Yes,
amen. Yes. Now, maybe I'm in a different generation than you, which would be all right with me. If your generation eats Tide Pods and stuff like that, I don't have any problem being in a different generation than you. I don't even want to know you. Amen? Amen? I don't want to be around no sissy boys or no sissy girls for that matter. No, sir. But the generation that I grew up with, they said you ought to work. A man ought to work. A man just ought to work. A man ought to go out. And listen, a man ought to take care of himself. Used to be in this country back when they made real people, folks would rather be hungry than let somebody else do something for them. Now, I'm not against generosity. I'm not against... I'm not against folks doing for one another in the community. Not against that at all. Not against anything like that. But it used to be a principle that God gave me two hands and two feet and want to do for myself. Now people won't do for themselves anymore. And you got a responsibility to do for yourself.
Yep. That's right.
Amen? And the Bible says bear your own burdens. And then it also tells you to bear the burdens of others. When you see somebody in need and somebody that can't and somebody that's not able, you ought to take care of them. That stuff ought to be done in the community. And I believe when people's heart gets hard and when people's heart gets cold, that the Lord will let somebody else step in and fulfill your responsibilities for you. If that turns out to be the government or Obama, then that's what it is. That's what it turns out to be. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't know where that came from, but I assume that it came from heaven. You just have to deal with it as a commercial. Amen. But listen what he says in verse number 11. It says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto him, unto the Lord all the days of his life. Now, if it's a worthy complaint, it's worth a vow. Think about that. Have you ever heard of, and I think I've said this a time or two in my youth and stupidity as well. But see, a lot of times, you know, that's the danger in letting young people preach more than once or twice a year. We run out of things to say and we say stupid stuff. Amen? And most people wouldn't admit that, but that's exactly what takes place. That's why the Bible says not to be a novice, among other, there's other reasons for that, but that's a good reason for not being a novice and trying to preach to a bunch of people before you get your life straightened out. Amen? My wife said amen anyway. I appreciate that. Amen, that's true. You ought to be careful. The Bible says keep your foot when you come to the house of God. He said be more ready to hear than to speak. And he said you ought to be more ready to hear than to offer the sacrifice of fools. That offering the sacrifice of fools was put in there in the place of speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You ought to be slow to speak and swift to hear. That's what you ought to do when you come to church, when there's good reason for that. You say stupid stuff. Amen. Amen. And there's a lot of that going around this day and time. You wouldn't believe that Jesse Craigle starts trouble on Facebook, would you? Any of y'all believe that? Jesse Craigle is a troublemaker. Not in church, on Facebook. But at any rate, if you're going to be a troublemaker, I prefer that you be a troublemaker on Facebook rather than in church. Amen?
Yeah.
But you know, Jesse was troublemaking this past week. And a fella showed up on one of the posts that he made making trouble for Jesse. And the only thing that I constrained myself, I really did. It's not easy for me to do, but I constrained myself. All I wanted to do was big, bold, capital letters. Shut your mouth. You say, why? Because the fella's done nothing but cause trouble. He caused trouble for his own family. He caused trouble for everybody else. He caused trouble for other people and other churches and put them in positions where the reputations be ruined forever. In that case, you ought to shut your mouth. You Amen. Ought to shut your cotton-picking mouth.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. If you're a preacher and you're a homewrecker, you run off other people's wives and all other people's husbands and getting involved in other people's lives like that and ruin their lives, you ought to shut your mouth and set your rear end down and get out of people's way, because you're nothing but a troublemaker and you're not worthy to pastor a church. Amen. You'd be lucky if you get to teach a little Sunday school class somewhere sometime. You're welcome.
Amen.
You're welcome. Amen. Brother Mike, I can't believe you'd say. Why not say it out loud? I'm thinking it inside.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Just shut up, troublemaker.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 I feel so much better after saying. I'm going to relish the moment just a minute. I mean, I really felt good at having the restraint not to say that. On Facebook and put that out there, but I feel like the pulpit was a better place for that, because I really feel like people need to hear stuff like that from time to time.
Yeah.
Amen. Why is the pulpit in such condition that it is today? Because you got men that's run off on their wives two or three times pastoring churches. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You don't like that? Lump it. Amen. 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 Well, let's get on with the sermon, shall we? I don't want to preach this message 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I will if I have to, but I don't want to. I want to get through it this morning. If it's a worthy complaint, it's worth a vow. If it's worth complaining about, it's worth you making some changes about. Right? You know what's wrong with people today? They want changes, but they don't want to change. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't make no sense at all, does it? Well, Lord, now here's the thing I want you to do. I want you to fix this problem. I want you to fix this problem. I want you to fix this problem. And like nothing else in the universe, I want all of my problems to change without me changing one bit. You're an idiot. I wish there was a better, more sensible, more sensitive way of communicating that to you, but you're a cotton-picking idiot. If you think that things are going to change in your life without you changing anything, you're an idiot. Live with your problems, because they're not going to change. You know what this woman wants, Brother Heath? She wants a son to keep.
Yep.
She don't want a son for a day or an hour or a week or a year. She wants a son. Just like every other mother wants a son she can have for the rest of her life. That's what this woman wants. But she says, you know what, Lord? If I can't have a son I can keep forever, just give me a son. I'll give him back to you.
Yep.
Amen? What she's saying is I may not be able to enjoy this thing that would make my heart glad and would make my heart joyful. I may not be able to keep it forever, but just give me a little taste of what it's like. I'll give him right back to you. Amen. She said, I want a child to keep. But you know what she bargained for? And I've said this before. I was trying to say this and I got sidetracked, but thank the Lord he gave me the thought back. You ever heard a preacher say something stupid like, you can't make deals with God? Why not? I've heard that. I think I've even said that a time or two. Oh, God don't make no deals. Well, don't ever read 1 Samuel chapter 1 then, because that's exactly what she did. I mean, a lot of people are so into their own doctrines and beliefs that they wouldn't dare read the scripture or they have to change their mind. Amen. God don't make no deals. Well, yeah, y'all don't tell them. 1 Samuel chapter 1's in the Bible. Because what's she doing? She's making a deal.
Yep.
She wants a child to keep. But if she could get away, Lord, if you just give me a child I could give back to you, that'd be all right with me. Just to know, I got a child out there. Amen? If it's worth making a complaint about, it's worth a vow. Perhaps a little bit of fasting too. And amen, don't expect an alteration of your life without being willing to alter your life a little bit. Amen? She wanted a child to keep. She bargained for a child she could give back. Lord, if you just give me a child, I'll give him right back to you. And you know what? In chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord multiplied her request. Let me go through the rest of this story that we're going to talk about in the sermon today and go on into chapter 2. God give her more children. When she made a vow and when she made a deal with the Lord and said, hey, if you'll give me this child, I'll give him right back to you. Well, when God did give her a child, she didn't move off to Texas and pretend it never happened. She went through with what she said. Amen. Amen. We need some more of that this day and time. Amen. Mm-hmm. Keep your word. It's better to not make a vow at all than to make a vow and break it.
Amen.
Amen. I wish people had the strength of their convictions like that today. I really do. Amen. You know how many people raised their fist to that? God called me to do this. God called me to do it. I've done that. You've done that. Well, at least do something. Amen. Don't quit on God when things don't go your way.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. People say, I'm going to be a missionary to this here foreign field. Okay, I'm glad people want to do missions. Well, they're not accepting visas. They won't let me come up. Hey, immigrate.
Yep.
Well, God's not in it, so it's not. I mean, don't lay down and do nothing. Do something for God. Amen. People spent several thousand dollars on you. Do something. Amen. Go to those churches that put all that money into you. Paint their bathrooms or something like that. Amen. Do something. Don't let not being able to do the thing that you had it in your mind to do make you lay down and quit on God. Do something. Do something. Don't lay down and be stagnant. Amen. Amen. You say, God, if you'll help me and if you'll let me do this or that, then I'll do this. Keep your end of the bargain if you have to do something. Amen. Just do something else. Amen. Well, if it's a worthy complaint, then it's a vow. It's worth a vow, and it's maybe worth some fasting, a little bit of praying, and maybe a little bit of putting the flesh down in order to do some things. Amen. The disciples asked Jesus one time, said, this demon here, we couldn't do nothing with. This person possessed with devils, we couldn't do nothing about it. The Lord said, you might should have fasted a little bit. If you'd have done a little bit more,
yeah. You'd
have been able to do more. And basically, that's what he's saying. That's good old country boy language. That ain't in the Greek, but that's good old country boy language right there. Amen? And then verse number 11, look what she says. He said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me. You reckon for God forgot her? You think God forgot who she was? But did you know that that's a prayer that occurs over and over and over in the Bible? Say, God, remember me.
Yep.
You know what this woman's actually saying and all the other people in the Bible that praise that? Samson prays the prayer, remember me. David, in a certain way, prays that prayer. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But a lot of people praise the prayer in the Bible. They simply say, God, remember me. That's a good prayer to pray. But it only works in a certain way. I mean, let me put it to you this way. God doesn't forget who people are. But God sees people from time to time in the Bible. And it's not even that they even have to pray that. The Bible says that God remembered them. And then when God remembers them, he brings them out of their situation. And that phrase simply means this, is that in this situation here, this woman is praying. She has a complaint. She's praying to the right person about it. And what she's praying about when she says, remember me, what she's actually saying is, Lord, you made me for this purpose. That's what she's saying. You know why God made a woman to be a helpmeet to a man? Amen? You know why God may have made a man to fulfill his purposes here on this earth? In the time that God made Adam, it was to tend that garden and to keep it, to fulfill his will. And we can just put it like that, to fulfill his will. And when we fulfill God's will, when we're trying to fulfill God's will, and when the thing is not taking place in our lives, the thing is not being accomplished in our lives, then we're to pray to God and say, God, remember me. You made me for this. Some of you daddies could say, God, you put me here, and for this purpose I was put here. I was to be born. I was to be raised. I was to find me a wife and leave my father and mother, and then I was to raise my own family. And God, I'm trying to raise my family, and I need this thing. I need this help. This is what you called me for. God, remember me. Remember me. My tire broke down in my car. God, remember me. He'll probably say, well, get out and change it. Amen? But if you're a man and you're trying to get something done for God and you can't get it accomplished under your own strength, you're supposed to look up to heaven and say, God, remember me. This is what you made me for, to do this. In this case, the lady says, God, you put me here to bear children. You put me here to be a help. You put me here to be a blessing. And the thing that you made me naturally to do, I can't get those things done. God, remember me. That's when God answers prayer. You know what preachers ought to pray? God, remember me. You know, these people are so stupid. I think I'll move to another church where, coincidentally, it'll be full of stupid people. All churches are full of stupid people from the pulpit on down. That's all we are. We can't help. We're not perfect. We're imperfect, sinful human beings. That's all we are, flesh. I think you folks ought to be more spiritual. Well, I agree with you, but what can we do about it? Amen? The only spiritual people I believe that there are on this planet are the people who realize that they need God. You might have your own guru. I think we ought to move out to California where all the preachers are gurus. They got all the answers. There ain't no answers, you dummy. This is the answer right here. You're not going to wake up one day with some magical formula to fix all your problems and not do this or do that. One of these days I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to have this particular addiction anymore and I'm just going to be perfect. No, you ain't. You're going to wake up tomorrow and depend on God or you ain't going to make it.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Yep. One of these days I'm going to wake up, I'm not going to give in to that temptation anymore. Not unless you wake up depending on God. That's the only way you're going to do it. Your old flesh ain't got the ability to do it.
Right.
If we just get a bunch of people to think that way, we'd have some spiritual people. Otherwise, you ain't spiritual. I read 20 chapters in my Bible yesterday. I'm spiritual. No, you ain't. You was probably thinking about LeBron James while you read it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Right. Amen. Most people read the Bible to try to prove a point rather than to get something from God. I'm going to read the Bible and find a gap theory. No, God, you're going to get a gap in your head's what you're going to get. Read the Bible to get something from God. And then if God shows you a gap theory, okay. But that's the way people, I'm going to prove that preacher wrong. Oh, you're messing with the wrong book. You may as well get a science book. If you get a math book, you can prove me wrong easy. If you want to prove me wrong, get a math book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen. But that's the way people are. People not spiritual in the sense that modern day people look at spirituality. People think of spirituality like Gandhi or the Pope. Those guys are idiots. I mean, God sees fit to call you out from among men and make you the head of his church on earth. And you go around wearing all that junk? You're the most spiritual, enlightened man on the planet. And you can't think straight enough not to wear that dress to work every day? That doesn't make any sense. If God made me the Pope of all the church here on earth, I'd make my uniform sandals and Bermuda shorts. No, I wouldn't do that. But it'd be a sight more convenient and comfortable and normal than that dress the Pope wears or that Roman toga that the Dalai Lama wears. They're not spiritual. They're idiots. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. Not going to get through with the sermon today. I only got 10 minutes left. But her prayer was, remember me. The prayer of remembrance in the Bible is for God to remember what purpose he had for your life. If you're a preacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're a child. You know, even children have purposes that God put them here for. God, if you're a child, God put you here to learn, to develop, to if you're a child, you ought to be praying. I don't care if you're 5 years old or if you're 15. You ought to be saying, God, enlighten me. Help me to understand. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. And just devote your whole teenage years to those things. Your whole preteen years. Just devote yourself to getting knowledge and understanding. Get all you can. It's not going to be that easy to get it once you're above 12 or 13 or 22 or 32. You're not going to, once you get 32, you're going to be so busy with your own kids, you're not going to learn nothing. Yep. Amen. Except for, why did I marry this idiot? You'll learn that. That's the way most people look at it. Not me. I was blessed. But that's perception, isn't it? Well, get it while you can, while you're young, while you're unencumbered with all these things. God's give you a perfect situation. Got a mom and dad to take care of the bills and the food and all that stuff. All I got to do is get myself in the Word of God, follow my mother and my father's commandments, and get all the wisdom that I can. That's your purpose. Yeah. And if a child would call out to God and stop saying, make me the homecoming queen, and start saying, God, help me, and God, use me for the purpose that you have for me, God, start doing something in your life. God, start answering your prayers. This woman got her prayers answered because she said, God, remember me, and God, help me. And that's a prayer that's been made all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Bible. You know what David said in that same line about remembering me? You know what he said, Brother Heath? He said, God, I got some enemies out here. And he said, if they kill me, who's going to praise you? You know what he's saying? You created me for this purpose. Amen. And I've been doing it. I mean, when we got the ark, I shouted her out and danced. When we got great victories over the Philistines, we shouted her out. Amen. And said, God, if you let these people overcome me, who's going to praise you? God, if you let my wife knock a knot on my head today, how am I going to show up and be able to shout the victory at church with a knot on my head? Amen. Amen. If you let these folks come and repossess my house, how in the world am I going to, hey, start praying like that. Lord, Lord, help me. Help me prepare and help me provide for my family. Amen. Help me to do what I, Lord, if you're going to call me to preach, give me something to preach about. Amen. Instead of bitterness and sorrow and junk like that. Help me, oh God, to do what I ought to do. Amen. That's the kind of prayer. God will start listening to prayers like that because you're willing to be subservient to his purposes. And that's what this lady here, Lord, this is what you put me here for, and I pray you'd remember me. You know what God did? He remembered her. He remembered her. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stop right there. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness and for your grace. And I pray, oh God, you would remember us. And lots of times we're praying, God, that you'd remember things that you never thought before, and that just ain't going to happen. We ask you, God, to do all kinds of things in our lives that, Lord, was never your purpose. But, Lord, you said if we would fulfill your purposes in our lives, if we would walk after your ways, you'd give us the desires of our hearts. And, Lord, a lot of times we're praying about the desires of our hearts when we hadn't fulfilled the purposes that you gave us here. Sometimes and many times we can't fulfill your purposes in our own strength, and we have to call out to you. And, Lord, I believe that's a reasonable economy, a reasonable way in which you've set things up. And I pray, oh God, you'd give us hearts that's wise enough to call out to you in times of trouble, in times of heartache, in times of grief, in times of our own insufficiency, and say, God, remember me and help me to do what it is you have for us to do. And Lord, I believe just like with this lady Hannah, and just like with David, and just like Samson when he was grinding at the mill and said in his own heart, this is not what God made me to do, but remember me, oh God. Give me that strength back. You surely did. Give him the strength back and help him to do what you wanted him to do. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, you'd give us that heart this morning. Help us guide the heart of the pastor, God. And as he preaches to us this morning, I pray, oh God, that you'd fill him with your spirit and fill him with words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Help whoever sings to sing with all their heart. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning.